It's time for our weekly check-in with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. With Austin Saravel's recent commitment to Ohio State, I was curious what offensive lineman might join Austin in Ohio State's 2023 recruiting class. John answers that question right here on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to an episode of Locked On Buckeyes from Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is Thursday, May 12th in the year 2022, and today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. I would also like to thank everyone out there for making Locked On Buckeyes their first listen or first watch of every single day. It hasn't taken me very long to realize you guys love what John Garcia Jr. brings to the table. He's full of information. He knows about all the recruits. And it's a great time for us to get a weekly check-in with him. It's great that we get a chance to get a weekly check-in with him so that we can learn all about Buckeye commits and people that might be Buckeyes in the future. The one thing that might be a negative about this time meeting with John was that this conversation was recorded prior to Dylan Raiola's announcement and commitment to Ohio State. We'll have to get his thoughts on that next week. So sit back, relax, enjoy another weekly check-in with John Garcia Jr. And joining us once again here on Locked On Buckeyes is John Garcia Jr., the Director of Football Recruiting at Sports Illustrated. And John, like I mentioned earlier, this is the first time you and I are coming on where most of the guys we're talking about, really, I don't think any of them reside in the state of Florida.
Yeah, you know, first time for everything, right? You know, but hey, there's been a clear emphasis for the Buckeyes in the Sunshine State for commitments to date. But now Ohio has the most future Buckeyes currently committed after the last commitment. So naturally, we got to get out of my home state, which is fine. I'm sure we'll come back at some point.
At some point, we will. Today's all about the big men up front that block for quarterbacks like C.J. Stroud, like Justin Fields, future quarterbacks Kyle McCord and Devin Brown, who will probably start at Ohio State over the next few years. There was a recent commit at Ohio State. We briefly talked about him last week, but I know we're going to have John on this week to talk more about Austin Saravel, I hope I said that correctly, 6'5", 315-pound interior offensive lineman. What can you tell us about this young man?
Well, he's one of the best players in the state of Ohio, and that's, you know, that's still business line A1 for Ohio State in recruiting. You still have to take care of home. Yes, the Buckeyes are national, but you have to recruit the home state. And as we mentioned, there are now more Ohioans committed to the Buckeyes than Floridians, for now at least. But look, I mean, this is a monster offensive lineman. There's really no other way to put it. As you mentioned, 6'6". His coach actually just said he's over 325 pounds right now. So just a massive human being who's got tackle ability. He's played tackle most of his career. But I think he's going to kick inside at Ohio State, especially now that he's 325, 330. That's probably going to be, you know, as big as they want him to get. But you look at him, Jay, and you don't see it. You see that he's right, carrying the weight very well, which is kind of a validator of that 6'5", 6'6", frame, and also an indicator of how the kid works at the high school level. And that's what you want in an offensive lineman. You don't want a guy that you got to drop 50 pounds with, that you have to all of a sudden build from the ground up. You want a guy who's got tackle experience that you could always move inside to guard with great size, and he carries it very well. I really like the way he plays. He's a balanced offensive lineman, comfortable in the passing game, but like most high school offensive linemen, very much wants to run block, and you think of the physicality that comes with that. He plays on a relatively low plane as well, despite being a taller offensive lineman. So a lot of strong qualities with the newest Buckeye verbal commitment. And the flexibility of going tackle to guard is really invaluable in the college game, really in the NFL game as well. You know, the more guys you have who can do more things, the better off you are. Because most of these great programs, Jay, Ohio State, you know, Clemson, Bama, Georgia, LSU in 2019, I mean, you want to get your best five linemen on the field, regardless of any kind of position we put next to their name. Just get the best five on the field, get through spring ball and into fall camp, and you can kind of mix and match as you go. And I think prospects like this enable you a little bit more positional flexibility, which is really never a bad thing in the offensive line room.
With as tall as he is and the mass that he carries, I immediately think Quentin Nelson at offensive guard. Now, I don't know if he plays like Quentin Nelson, but Quentin Nelson, I do believe he clocks in at, checks in at, was 6'5", 6'6", 330, starting offensive guard for the Indianapolis Colts. So I don't know if he plays like that. Of course, this kid's still in high school, so there's a long way to go before you're a multi-time all-pro and pro bowler in the NFL. But if he has any signs of that type of play for the high school level, man, this could be the right kind of kid the Buckeyes will love for a really long time.
Well, look, it's clear that Ohio State is going to try to build a big offensive line class. I know we'll talk about some other targets later today. But look, you need some flexibility in there. So if you are going to move a guy who's normally a tackle inside, again, like Quentin Nelson did going from high school to college, you want it to be a guy who's more physical and can play low at that size rather than not. And certainly Austin can do those things. Again, Quentin Nelson, that's very high praise for anyone. But even if it's the great value, Quentin Nelson, you'll take that in any regard at Ohio State or any school for that matter. He's very good at the point of contact, Jay. And again, I mentioned his plane, you know, hard to stay low at that size. But again, if you carry 330 pounds well, you're probably a guy who's very close to the weight room and a guy who's very comfortable manipulating his body. So I think that naturally pushes you inside, makes you that much more comfortable at the point of attack, in the run game, getting to the second level, leading screens, all the things that really encapsulate the new age interior offensive lineman. This isn't, you know, 1993 where it's just the biggest guys go on the inside, the smartest is the center, and the most athletic are the tackles. Now, everybody has to be athletic across the board. You want guys who can move regardless of position, and I think that's what the Buckeyes are getting in the newest commitment.
You know, John, I don't do the player comps like some other guys do. I try not to do that. I just try to think of guys that, hey, that size connection that I can make as a Colts fan is to Quentin Nelson. I would never, ever say that he's that right now. I haven't watched enough film on him to say. I haven't seen him play a complete game, so I can't say that at all. But that's where that connection came in at. But, I mean, if he's there at 330 in high school, and I don't know where you sit with this, but I read that the plan or maybe the goal might be for him to keep that mass, not to lose weight, not to gain weight, but to play where he currently is in high school at Ohio State. Do you see that being the plan for him once he's in Columbus?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, again, the game is largely elsewhere, getting smaller and faster, more, you know, relative to the space, you know, spread element that really is college football, especially Ohio State. I mean, this is one of the innovative offenses when it comes to, you know, throwing the football, pushing the ball down the field, explosive plays. So, yeah, you're not going to want him to get to 350 or 360. I think that will be a lot for his frame. And, look, there's stranger things have happened, Jay. You know, if he does gain some weight, you know, we just saw a couple of guys go in the first round that are very, very heavy but also very, very tall, like an Evan Neal. So I don't think you want to push much more beyond 330, 335 or so at the next level. But look, he carries 330 well, so I think he'd carry 340 pretty well as well. But, you know, I do think once you get into a college weight room, a college nutritional plan, even your lifts are built around the body goals that your position coach and your coaches overall have for you. So once you get to college, much easier to maintain or even drop if you need to, just because you have so many resources at a major school like Ohio State, to where I think, yeah, even though he's 330 today, he can stay there throughout his high school career and enter Columbus or enter his college days at that same size, maybe with a little bit of weight distribution elsewhere to build out his lower half, let's say, as he matures and gets into that college age level.
BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports info. Find all of the latest sports developments, league reviews, and news, including this year's basketball playoffs and the start of the Major League Baseball season. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, from live betting to playoffs, esports, and more. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action. BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen every day. Make sure to check out the Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stayman, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft, player rankings, and of course, big boards. It's free and available wherever you get your fine podcast. You briefly mentioned the innovative nature that Ryan Day in the Ohio State offense has in the passing game. How is this young man in pass protection?
He's rock solid. You know, like I said, he plays tackle now. So it's not like there's a whole lot of guessing as to where, you know, he's going to be from a pass protection standpoint. We've seen him at camps perform well against smaller, quicker guys. So, you know, in a pinch, can he play right tackle? Can he redirect like you want at that position? Mm-hmm. I do think he has some of those traits in his game as well. But again, it's about getting the five best on the field and with the other guys that Ohio State is looking at. I just think Austin is a little bit more built to play inside. I think his floor is certainly at guard. But look, you know, depending on how he develops over the next year and a half before he even gets to OSU, I don't think right tackle is out of the question either. Because, yeah, he can pass set. Again, he's a kid who plays on a low plane who's really balanced as well. Mm-hmm. He's not like a sloppy, over-the-top kind of kid who just bullies on lesser competition. No, he's got some polish and some technical ability within his game as well. So I think he could contend as a tackle at most schools, and maybe that's where he would be recruited at most schools. But because of the talent at an Ohio State, you know, where everybody's really good, I think then you can start to say, hey, how much positional flexibility do we have here? But I do think, Jay, worst case scenario, he can absolutely play right tackle down the line.
And no center. I know I keep seeing interior off of the line. Look at these different databases. No center with him at all, just more guard and tackle?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, when you're 6'6", I mean, it's hard
right.
at that size. Although, look, the game has changed. You don't have to you're not snapping under center much anymore anyway. So if you've got a great shotgun snap or pistol snap, you're okay. But I hadn't seen center associated with him very often, at least not yet. But it's one of those things that – it's an acquired taste, right? You know, kids can build that into their repertoire going forward. But obviously, a kid who plays tackle in high school, those are the live bullets that he's seen. So it would be a harder transition. But again, it's happened. Stranger things have happened in college football and position projections. But I do think he's a little tall for the center spot, at least from where I sit right now.
This young man committed last week, but there are a couple other guys that I put out there that I saw might be on the radar, close radar to Ohio State. One of them, I'm going to possibly butcher this name, Olas Alanin. You'll correct me. I know you will. An offensive tackle, and I believe I saw he's 6'6", 315, the same listing I have seen for Austin Sirivelde. So I'm sure you'll kind of describe why one kid's a tackle probably, one kid's more interior at a guard. But this kid I also saw, he's the number one recruit at one database in the state of Connecticut. And I think that's huge, talking about how we're getting away from the state of Florida. Talked about it briefly earlier, about how a lot of big guys, you're not going to go to Florida, Northeast, big colder places like that. For him to be the number one recruit in his own state, that's huge. But also, I'm curious, like, is he going to be more of a tackle or a guard at the next level?
Yeah, well, you want to talk about a kid from a cold weather place. Never mind Connecticut. He's originally from Finland. So he is absolutely, like, okay with playing in the shoe and in the Big Ten, if that's where he ends up. But yeah, Olas is a massive human being. Another kid, like you said, 6'6", 315, but he doesn't look it. He doesn't look it. He looks lighter. He looks 295 or so. But I think the difference between him and Austin in comparison's sake for a position, it's just the movement skills. Olas is just a light on his feet kid, very typical with international prospects. They play other sports before they fall in love with football, which is probably the opposite of how Austin grew up, just assuming, not knowing in particular with his case. So naturally lighter on their feet. Man, the redirection skills with all of us are off the charts. You know, he was at a camp over the weekend and he really stood out for the Under Armour folks, the folks who select for the Under Armour All-American game. Saw a couple of clips today, Jay, where, I mean, his redirection skills look like he's 6'2", 6'3". I mean, it's really quite fascinating to watch his footwork materialize leading up to his senior year at the Loomis School in Connecticut, as you mentioned. So I think that's really the first, you know, difference between the two in terms of how it relates to a position projection. The movement, the redirection skills with Aulis are really off the charts compared to any tackle in the country. I think he's one of the best tackles because of that. And then he's got the length, legitimate 6'6". The punch is really excellent. That's kind of where he shines brightest on tape. So you know when you're talking about pass protection, you've got to move, you got to redirect, and you've got to punch. I mean, those are really the core principles if you can stay balanced and all those things. And that's where he is really just a no-brainer tackle type because of those foundational traits physically. And you look at the schools that want him, and it makes sense, right? It's yeah. Ohio State, it's Georgia, it's Bama, Miami's in there as well. Look, offensive-minded head coach in Mario Cristobal. So that makes sense, too. He's taken a bunch of visits, and he's going to take some official visits in June before making this potential verbal commitment. So Ohio State's right in the thick of it here, and imagining pairing a guy like that with Austin next to one another, where their traits and their strengths could potentially counterbalance the other. And that's what you want to build at a championship level when you're building up any recruiting class and any position group. You want them to complement each other. And I think that's what Ohio State's looking to do on the trail this class.
One of the best things I saw about him, well, best qualities and best things that you can't see on the field, is that I saw that his dad played in NFL Europe and also was in some different camps in the NFL as well. I don't believe I saw the position that his dad played. However, that doesn't really matter to me. He is a kid that has a dad who knows what it takes to get to the next level, not just college, but literally the next level. And so I like that already enough. I mean, what you're saying to me is amazing, but also having a father who knows some things about football at a different level that can assist you in helping you make the right decision about the school to go to and assist you to potentially, not going too far, but John, potentially go play after the college level as well. That's something that not many people have at their disposal.
Yeah, and people forget, Jay, you know, NFL Europe was a big deal. I mean, this was really viewed as a big step for football in general going global, where it has obviously gone since that point. NFL Europe was a very big deal. So that was no, you know, I think we look at the CFL and some of these other leagues and people kind of raise an eyebrow. They're like, oh, okay, how good are they? But NFL Europe was legit football back in the day. So I didn't even know that. So that's a great trait to associate with Aulis's game and his recruiting profile that makes it kind of more of a no-brainer to recruit him, right? I mean, really from every angle, physically, mentally, you know, kids already left home, which is a big deal, you know, maturity-wise. There's a lot of angles, a lot of positives to take away from just the profile, the body of work, per se, that this kid has put together as a junior in high school. Incredibly impressive. And yeah, all those traits point to a kid that you're probably not going to miss on, right? You know, we talk every draft season, right? This just went by. We talk about all these busts, right? Whether it's an All-American in college who just never figured it out at the NFL level, or a five-star recruit who just never figured it out to even get on the field at the collegiate level. You go back and look at some of those misses and you're like, well, this was kind of a red flag. And yeah, we heard about this and we probably didn't take it into consideration enough. But then you get kids like this that are kind of the opposite, where everything you look at screams positivity, screams like, hey, give this kind of kid the benefit of the doubt. And those are important in the evaluations. And look, these college coaches know that too. They want NFL guys. I mean, they want to win on Saturdays and win rings and conference championships and go to the playoff, of course. But, you know, the next best thing, or in some cases, the better thing to pad on the resume, is guys you can get from Fridays to Saturdays into Sunday football, where obviously, you know, the draft and the NFL is king in this country. So it is quite fascinating to look at. And yeah, the more you look into a kid like this, it's kind of like the more you like. And that's why he's such a high-profile national recruit.
John, you know we got to put you on the spot. I do believe this young man. First, before I get there, am I correct that seeing that his visit is going to be in June?
Yeah, so Ohio State? All four trips will be in June.
Okay.
Georgia is the third. Ohio State's the last visit. So Ohio State's going to get the last in-person impression for Aulis before all is said and done. Now, I don't know if there's a commitment date yet, but of the four official visits that are set in his top four, the Buckeyes are last on the calendar, and that's a good position to be in. You usually want to be first or last when you're talking about a kid making a lot of official visits, because you want to make the first impression and set the bar if you're on the front end, or if you're on the back end, you want that recency bias. You want that last minute, hey, I know you've been busy. You know, you want the coach to kind of resonate with you a little bit and understand you're a little bit tired, but hey, we still want you to come here. We still want to show you exactly why. You want that last impression, recency bias before making, you know, to date, you know, the biggest decision that you'll make as a high school, you know, player, athlete, recruit, what have you. So, yeah, the visits are fascinating, not only where they're going, but when they take the trips. Always important to consider.
Now it's time to put you on the spot. John, scale of 1 to 10, 1 being probably not going to happen, 10 being the most likely. Do you think this young man commits to Ohio State?
Scale of 1 to 10, I'll go 6, Jay. Okay. I think Ohio State's in great shape here. Look, I think there's two things here. One, monster programs across the board, right? We totally get it. I mean, these are three of the last 5 or 6 national champs, and then it kind of upstart Miami, which is easy to understand with the new coaching staff there. So you look at it from that perspective, and you say, hey, Ohio State can compete and has competed with these schools in the past. So, yes, it's a great group to be involved with. But then on the other side of it, you look and you say international kid, a kid who's not – it doesn't have the same upbringing as your traditional target, right? A kid who grew up all in for football in the South or in Ohio where it's just – it's so cut and dry A to B. This is an awkward top four for most players at really at any position, especially with Miami involved. So that can kind of give other schools a little bit more hope, you know, to go unconventional. But look, Ohio State has always recruited internationally. I mean, Hiro Kanu in this last class was such a big deal. He is such a big deal for European football. So I think any little evaluation points where you're a little bit more proven than the next school feels good. Most people feel like Ohio State is at the top or near the top in this race. I think Alabama's probably the primary competition. You really can't go wrong at either school from a winning or NFL standpoint. But, you know, Ohio State getting the last visit, Bama's right in the middle, right? It's Miami, then Bama, Georgia, Ohio State in terms of the visits. Bama being in the middle of that crazy visit slate, Ohio State getting the last one, makes me think Ohio State might have the edge in this thing. But Bama's right there as well. So it'll be a fun race here into the finish. And maybe we won't have to wait too long to figure out where the kid's going, because he's taking those 4 visits basically back to back to back to back. So usually that means a commitment's coming right after.
Last but not least, there's one other kid that I saw that's on the radar of Ohio State, that Ohio State is pretty high on his board as well. This name is a whole lot easier to say than the previous two. It's Ian Reed, offensive tackle. I think I saw he clocks in at 6'5", 290 pounds. So a lot lighter than the other two individuals from Austin, Texas. What can you tell us about this young man?
Yeah, you mentioned he's from Texas, where Ohio State has traditionally gone in and plucked some really great players at all sorts of different positions. This is another really balanced kid, more of a late emerger compared to the other two, where we've known about them from quite some time. Ian is a little bit more new to the national recruiting scene. He just dropped his top 10, so he's much earlier in the process than these other two. I mean, obviously one's already committed, but the other two. So I do think we're still in the early stages of figuring out what Ian wants on the recruiting trail. And he's got a national group of offers in that top 10, but he has started to set some official visits. You know, Texas and Clemson are going to get two. Ohio State looks like it's probably the next one he's going to set. So I do think the Buckeyes within this top 10 should feel good about their standing. And as we talked about at the top, Jay, they're building quite the offensive line class. So I do think that this is a different type of recruit, different type of player Ian Reed is than Austin and all us respectively. I do think he's a little bit more interior based. I think he could be a center candidate, a kid who's really strong in the run game. I mean, his pancakes are quite fun to watch, gets to the second level with ease. And he's got great extension in his blocking as well. A kid who's asked to move around a lot and from different launch points at the high school level. But he's another one that plays tackle at the prep level. So it's one of those things that it's hard to project sometimes because all these kids are lining up at the same position. But he's a little bit shorter, a little bit lighter, as you mentioned, than some of these other Ohio State targets. So naturally, you're probably going to push him inside at some point, but he's got plenty of ability. And again, he's got a true national offer list. And it's hard to go into Texas, too, for Ohio State. So they've done it in the past. I mean, off the top of my head, JT Barrett, J.K. Dobbins, Jackson Smith and Jigba. You know, the list goes on and on. Baron Browning, certainly one of those. Jeff Okuda, maybe the highest drafted Texan that Ohio State has had, at least in my brain right now. So they've done it in the past. They've gone into Texas and won these heavyweight battles. So we'll see if they can measure up for Ian Reed. But this is one that I think is going to go a little bit longer because he's just now got the top 10 the first week of May. He's just now formulating where he's going to take these officials. And they may not all be in the summer. Maybe some of them leak out into the fall for games, which could be a good thing for a school like Ohio State with the amount of fans that pack the stadium and the atmospheres that are created in the Big Ten. The sooner the better might not be the case for Ohio State with Ian Reed. Maybe the long game could be the better factor for Charlie Fry and Ryan Day and company.
You Justin mentioned, Fry, excuse me. I wasn't going to correct you. I was just going to let that one slide. You mentioned Texas and Clemson as two schools that have he scheduled official visits with. I'm going to close out with this. I say Texas to an Ohio State fan, you already know there's going to be some possible bad blood. Texas and Ohio State have future non-conference games scheduled, but I do believe it'll be after, and I don't know the exact dates. I think it'll be after Quinn Ewers is not in school anymore. If he is, that's must-see TV for numerous reasons. The storylines will literally write themselves. But what can Ohio State do if they're in a battle with Texas to lure this young man away from Austin, Texas, up to Columbus?
Yeah, you know, I think that the track records on the field, JR, are just so opposite here. And I think when you're talking about recruiting different positions, it's a different sell. I mean, I think with quarterbacks, it's so specific, right? It's like scheme fit, NFL development, the style of the offense. But when you start expanding out to other positions, it becomes a little bit more generic and flatline. And it's about, especially with the O-line, man, it's about winning. It's about Saturdays. It's about building something together. And the O-line at Texas has not been good for quite some time. Now, they did just bring in probably the best O-line group in the country in the class of 2022, and they've got a sweet NIL deal for all offensive linemen, but it can't just be about that. It should be about, for Ohio State with Ian Reed, it should be about the long-term development over the long period of time, because, look, there's still a lot of questions to answer for Steve Sarkisian in Texas going into this 2022 season. There's a lot of pressure on him for being a second-year coach. I mean, he might have the most pressure of any second-year coach. Well, maybe Brian Harsin at Auburn for off-the-field stuff. Yeah. But on the field, Steve Sarkisian, it's got to be now down there. There's just more pressure in general at Texas. So I think when you're recruiting an offensive lineman, you're building something that is more long-term and sustainable. And Ohio State, compared to almost anyone, has been as long-term sustainable as any program, really at any position. And the offensive line is included. It's been relatively consistent from a production standpoint. But for most O-linemen, it's about building that brotherhood and winning on Saturdays. It's not a glamour position where you're talking as much NIL and glory and specific individual accolades. It's a group position. So when you win a lot, it usually takes care of itself in the trenches, particularly on the offensive line. So I do think that's something different that Ohio State can sell him relative to Texas and even Clemson, which has been a little bit more in flux over the last couple of seasons. So it'll certainly be interesting. But I think, again, the kid is in it for the long haul. So we might not know our answers here for quite some time.
John, another information-filled episode with you back on the podcast. Could you let people know where they can follow you on Twitter? I know we do it every week, but we've got to say it again. And then if there's anything special going on over there at Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, well, we're tracking the transfer portal and NIL like everybody else. So a lot of in-depth reporting there. I actually just wrote about Legend Cavazos' transfer from Ohio State. So check that out at Sports Illustrated. On Twitter, I'm at @JohnGarcia_JR, just my name, or search SI All-American for all your recruiting news across all social media platforms.
And, guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. Another week, John's back with us. He'll be back again in the future. We love John on the podcast. Helps us learn all about Buckeye recruits, those that have committed and those that might commit in the future. John, thanks for coming back on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my guy. Take care.